Fred Film Radio, Turin Film Festival, Italy.
Angelo Cerbi, Fred Film Radio at the Torino Film Festival, here with Ivan Carl. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. I'm very happy to have you here. You are at the festival to present The Blank Generation, which was a movie that you shot together with Amos Poe in 1976. And it's an historical piece of document on a part of the history of music, specifically punk movement, at the CBCG. The movie is, as I said, an historical document. And what were you thinking, you and Amos, when you did that? Because it has a strange editing, which was kind of disturbing but fascinating at the same time. So what was the aim you were pursuing?
I was born in Prague and Czechoslovakia then, and I was very fortunate to escape and get out, and I came to United States in 1966, 2 years before the Soviet Army came in. And I had friends in Prague, and I always wanted to share things with them. And I thought, well, I have to get everything I can, because there was nothing in Prague, no music, no rock and roll. But I borrowed my parents' Super 8 camera, and I was shooting subways, people on walking on Fifth Avenue. I used to put a microphone in the ocean because we didn't want to have an ocean. I'm going to remind myself. There was some kind of a need, or journalistic need. I don't know where it came, but I wanted to capture this and hopefully share it with my friends in Prague, which was very naive because I would be in jail. When I met with Amos, he didn't know about the where I played, Max's Kansas City with Patty or CBGB's Blondie. So I took him along. He also had a camera. But I want to describe Amos. He was very helpful, and we became dear friends. When I said, Amos, I have these bands that I shot, you know, and it was very easy for me to do that because we became friends. We were like a small family, the Ramones, Debbie Harry, Patti Smith, the Television, Heartbreakers. And I said, I need to put these roles, these three-minute roles, together. How do I do that? And I have all this footage, these tapes, cassette tapes, reel-to-reel tapes from the bands. They were just giving it to me. And so he said, oh, I know this place by Maisel Brothers, the guys who the Rolling Stone, Give Me Shelter. And I said, really? I said, yeah, but you can have it only 24 hours, and it's going to cost you so-and-so. I said, great. Do you know how to use the steam bath? So he showed me how to use it, and that was endearing. I owe him a big favor. I had 24 hours. I didn't think about art, as you would say, you know, or a system. I didn't think anybody would watch it. And all I wanted to... So that was Amos. And then also he helped me to... I said, what do I do with it now? Well, there's a lab called Do Art, which recently closed down in New York. So I said, I owe you a big one, Amos. And later on, Amos Poe was doing real stuff, you know, with non-actors, actors. And he asked me to do music for him. So in that sense, it was an incredible field for me to do music for him. Foreigner, On May Beds, Subway Riders. So going back to why I was doing it was, even when I was with Patti Smith, I still didn't have my citizenship, even though I graduated from college. Pardon me?
How long did it take to get your...
It took me longer than normal because I did something. I had a friend of mine escape from Prague. He contacted me when I was living upstate New York. And I said, well, you need a job to do something. And he didn't have a green card. So I invited him. I said, well, you can wash dishes. And he said, well, silly me, that was illegal. So when I applied for my citizenship after green card, they said, we can't give it to you yet. So it took about 15 years.
Oh, God.
And So I was on Needles and Pins. Mm-hmm. And so anyhow, well, I was I got into the filming. What is amazing to me, you really flattering me when you say historical document. Somebody mentioned Godard. I said, I always loved Godard. I loved.
But you were not thinking about that.
No, not at all. There was just something in you that drives you. And I really can't explain it except thank you.
And also probably because back then you didn't have that kind of perception of media and of diffusion and of universality of messages that we have now, I think. You know, probably you were just, as you say, you were doing it because you wanted to do it for yourself, for documenting something for your sake, not for the people's sake.
Yeah, you
it
do
was
it.
Something you didn't even think
it's
about.
It's something that you're absolutely right. When you do it for yourself first because it's something really exciting. And I knew all those bands, and we became like a family. So if I go backstage, they said, "Oh, well, hi, how you doing?" And they're fighting. Or you go to, I remember Ramones, doing the rehearsal at CBGB's, and I'm filming them, nobody cares.
You can imagine, and saying those things now, it's something huge, you know, saying that you were a family with all those names that for us, my generation and other generation are like God and goddesses, basically.
It's amazing.
It's really amazing. You know, it's like, it's a different level of perception of what music can make, how music can make history, because you were inside of it. For us, it was watching and perceiving from the outside, and it's a completely different
world. That's true.
Word.
Sometimes you, when you see it from the outside and you read about it, so you, what is it, you glamorize it, or you say,
yeah, exactly.
It's better than it was, but it was, for most people, it was a terrifying place as guests, but it was fantastic that I always had camera with me on the road with Patty, and there are great shots with her jacket going. It was Atlanta, Georgia.
You know, you couldn't do it now because it would be PR people and you know, advertising people and marketing and rights and video rights and stuff. So those days are really, really over. Completely
That's
over.
That's too bad.
Of this
the,
kind
the freedom
of,
is...
Freedom and...
Freedom and...
Spontaneity.
Yeah. That's what it was. And I learned about it. You know, not just shooting people, just learning about American music, for instance. You know, you guys know more because you were born here. Well, how is the blues and how is the Motown going? How did it go? And then you are with Patty. She is like an alien. And she loves the same thing you did in college, because I studied French literature and poetry and I was going to be a teacher. So it just worked. And her poetry and Bob Dylan and all that. So, you know, her going like that with a jacket. I remember there's Lenny Kaye. He's like, stop it. And he's putting the guitar going like this in front of the lens. But it was a good feeling. Same thing with Iggy. When I was on the road with Iggy, it was constantly, he said, oh, come on, just stop it.
Was he shy? I can't believe Iggy Pop was shy. It wasn't
No, shy. He said... You know, I have glasses on. Why are you taking pictures? And he was like, you know, but he, you know, we became close friends even before Patty. So
I have one last question about the movie. Why did you choose to edit it with this not in synchro with the sound images? So the sound that you hear are not what is playing in the images. Why did you choose that?
I had no choice, and just not to make it silent. It was very expensive to be able to rent a camera with sound. Uh-huh. Extremely. Amos couldn't do it. I couldn't do it, even if we put two salaries together. So the one way we could somehow make it plausible was to get the demos or records.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Ivan Kraft, for being with us. It was a real, real pleasure to me, actually. Thanks a lot.
Thank you
Angela
so much.
Angela Cervi from the Zorin Film Festival, Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.